A quote that I like, it's a good saying. It says, to cry is human, but to lament is Christian. To cry is human, but to lament, that is Christian. So we come to Psalm 13. This is a classic psalm of lament. Please hear the reading of the word of the Lord. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Father, thank you for your scriptures. Thank you that they meet us wherever we are, at all times, in all places of our heart, in all places where we are, geographically, in the town, across town, wherever. Father, it's relevant and it's timeless, and we need this, your word, Father. So may we humble ourselves before it today and teach us from your loving heart, in your name. Amen. There's a story that a friend of mine experienced. He's a pastor now, and he has musical gifts. He's a good singer. Well, when he was younger, the first time he sang at a church, he got up before the church to sing. He was in California, and he had heard this praise song that he just really loved. And he said, you know what? I'm going to get up, and I'm going to sing this song in front of the church. So he's a young man. He gets up, starts to sing this song. He's just putting everything he has into it. He's going along. He can't remember all of a sudden what the lyrics are, so he decides, you know, I'm just going to wing it. I'm just going to have to make up something here that sounds about right. So he does that, and he's singing. He's doing that, and he's looking at the crowd, the congregation, probably trying to get some affirmation, trying to judge how people are receiving what he's saying. And he looks out in the crowd, and true story here, he looks out and he sees a face that looks really familiar, but he doesn't know him. And he said, he realized that's actually, I've seen this concert, this band or this group play, and that's a person in the band. And he looks around, and sitting next to him, there was these other singers and these band members from this group that wrote the song, that performed the song that he's singing, that now he's making up words about. So this happened. So he's making up these words. He's looking at their faces all of a sudden. He's like, I'm singing these guys' song. And they didn't look too happy about it, about what he had done, his artistic interpretation of what they had written. They were just kind of a little bit skeptical, a little bit, they just looked really confused, maybe amused. But he got to the end of the song, and what he decided to do was, there was a doorway behind the stage. There was a place where the choir sang, and he just went, walked straight out the door. He just went out the back and just walked down the road, just left the church, just didn't even come back. I mean, he was just so embarrassed. He was just completely ashamed of what he had just done. I mean, he's like, what are the odds that this group could be there? And I share that story. You know, it's a really humorous story, at least to me. Not sure how you felt about that story, but, whenever we come to Psalms of Lament, of which this is one, we are being invited to sing this song of lament and to, in many ways, to make it our own. We find that the one who inspired and ultimately gives us this psalm, the Lord himself, he doesn't disapprove of our little efforts at trying to embrace this and to respond to this with our lives, with our hearts, with whatever we are going through. So our Lord doesn't look at our performance, and we don't have to run from him in shame. That's the kind of God that we approach as we approach Psalm 13, and we find this God that we can bring ourselves to whatever is going on in our lives, in our thought life, whatever is going on in the emotions of our heart. And we find some very strong emotions that are being just shared really honestly and openly by the psalmist here. So one-third, did you know that one-third of the psalms are psalms of lament? What is lament? What is a psalm of lament? Here's a definition. I think it matches what you find in the scripture. Lament is a prayer that is a prayer prayed in pain, emotional pain, or I would add in struggling thoughts. Because this psalm is not so much about being in pain as much as having struggling thought process here about one's circumstances, themselves, and even God. But lament is a prayer that you're having with struggling thoughts or even in pain that leads you to trust, that leads to trust. So it's not just venting your emotions. You know, we live in a culture that, you know, you're going to find plenty of permission to vent your emotions and your feelings. Our culture values feelings ultimately a lot more than thinking a lot of times. Many people do. And, you know, you might feel like my friend felt that posted the other day on his social media account. He had this picture and it said, "Good morning, America. What are you going to be offended about today?" But on the other hand, we have actually a lot of things that seriously that we can bring both individually in our lives. And some of us, when we hear a song, even a sermon like this or approach a psalm like this, we think, you know, I'm so glad that I have permission, that I'm given permission here to cry and to be honest before God and to do that. And then others of us are like, I'm not so sure. This is sort of seems real touchy-feely to me. You know, I don't know about just, I don't really know how I feel right now. I feel maybe, I know I have about two emotions I feel. Some guys say that. I know I feel mad or I feel happy. I'm hungry, you know. But we see here that David here, who was a very strong man, he was a warrior who wrote this psalm. He takes stock. He knows where he is, and he doesn't just complain and doesn't just vent his feelings, but he's taking them to God, which is going to lead to trust. And so we have one-third of the psalms lament. So why do we need these psalms? Because to really understand the other side of the psalms, we need to really understand and grow in this area. And this is not something that comes natural to me, my personality. I'd much rather change the subject if I'm thinking about my hard feelings or make a joke and get out of it that way. My wife will remind me of that. But, you know, it also really invites us to not only understand the other side of the Psalms, but also to be ministered to by the Lord. Do you want to be ministered to by the Lord? You can bring all of what you're going through to him. And it causes us to become like the one who is the man of sorrows, who knew how to lament. So if that is your goal, to become like Christ, that is our purpose individually as Christians. And as we are seeking as a church, our mission is to make disciples. And as we are going out in our mission, this is a hard time for people, isn't it? I heard a statistic the other day that there was a survey done by a government health organization that said, and we think that, I believe it was one-third of everyone surveyed could be considered clinically depressed during this this COVID epidemic. And so you're talking about, and they said, you know, we it's probably a lot higher than that, but this whole thing, you know, we know this is sort of a, one counselor said, he said, this is a dumpster fire, this whole thing. You know, this is so hard. And so you might be struggling a lot. You might be someone who is having a really hard time right now just dealing with this season. I think we all are, honestly. You're not alone in that. In different ways, we all are. So perhaps lament is a practice we all need to work on so God can minister to us and we can know His word, His psalms of lament. We're not just getting our emotional pain. This is not navel gazing. This is worship. Lamenting is worshiping the Lord, isn't it? So we have a short psalm before us, six verses. So how do we do it? How do we do this? Well, there's three pairs of verses here. Each point of my points will be for each pair of verses. So first point, take. Second point, tell. Third point, turn. Take, tell, turn. So first point is the first two verses, so on and so forth. Let's read again. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? So in that first two verses, we are invited, we see how the psalmist, what he's doing is he takes his honest feelings and thoughts to God. As I said, he takes inventory, he takes notice of where he is. And he takes those honest and feelings before God. So four times he says, how long? So he's not really asking, is this a request? I'm where he's saying, I need some information that I don't have here. I need you to give me a date. How long am I going to have to do this? No, it's not, is he? But he's expressing his feelings of just really struggling under the duress, the stress. He's discouraged. And so he says, you know, how long? It's related to three things. How long? He's talking about God, and he's talking about himself, and he's talking about his enemy. Well, in Scripture, in the Old Testament, when God remembers and sees, like he says, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? When God remembers and sees in the Old Testament, It doesn't mean that he's about to have recognition of what is about to happen. It means that he's about to do something. He's going to act because God is always at work, even whenever we don't see that he's at work and we don't feel like it. But during those times, we can be honest with him because he is a God who remembers and sees, but the psalmist isn't there. He doesn't feel. He might feel like I felt when I was a teenager. I went through a time after my parents were divorced, a pretty nasty divorce as a teenager, and I became an agnostic. I became sort of a someone who I said, you know, I can't see, touch, don't know if God's there. Maybe I just believe in God because I'm from Alabama, and that's what most people believe in the state of Alabama, but there's no way to really know if that's even true. That's what I was. That was my thinking at the time, and I was going through an emotional hard time. I was not willing to really recognize, and it was affecting my cognitive thinking process. You know, our emotions affect how we think and how we relate to God. Even you know, it's said that, you know, we really. It's our emotions that really, and you look at the New Testament and you see how much Paul talks about our desires. It's our desires that really shape how we act. We're not just brains on a stick who think things and then we do them or don't do them. So it is our feelings, and it's good to know what our emotional state is, and bring that before the Lord. And, you know, as a great philosopher that I have read, have really enjoyed learning from many centuries ago, his name was Blaise Pascal. And he said, people form their beliefs not on the basis of evidence, but on what they find attractive. And so our feelings really do shape us. And as we are encountering this passage, we see that the problem here is that he feels that God is withholding practical help from him. That's really the issue. You are not helping me. And he can't see evidence of his care. It's like an image of a friendship that's clouded over. It's indifference. You can see a similar type of sentiment in the book of Psalm 22, which Jesus prayed, that psalm of lament. Oftentimes in throughout the course of the year, you know, Good Friday, we might pray it's that psalm of lament as the church. Or during the Advent season, we also, it's a good time to pray psalms of lament. How long we're waiting, in that time you're waiting for the coming of the Lord. And not for his first coming, as the original author was here, but we're waiting for the second coming of the Lord. And so David doesn't wait until he's feeling better, but while he's struggling in his pain, he's going to the Lord. He's wrestling with his thoughts. His mind is troubled. He's having turmoil of thought. That is what his struggle here is. In CSV, it's a good translation of the Bible. The Christian Standard Version says, how long will I store up anxious concerns within me? Agony in my mind every day. How long will my enemy dominate me? So he feels like his enemy's triumph over him won't end. And it's been said that, you know, whenever you come to the Psalms, you see with David that always these awareness of two things. He's aware of God and he's aware of his enemies. Enemies are basically just people that hate him. And for the person singing the psalm, it would be those that would hate the faithful life, the biblically faithful life of the one singing, the singer. But, you know, these enemies, so he said, someone said, it's like almost like two charges of a battery. You got a positive and a negative. You always got God he's aware of, and that defined David's, his main life. You know, you look through Samuel, you look at his life, it's awareness of God and his enemies, and he's, they're pursuing him. And so we might say, you know, how long about things in our own life? And as I was looking at the prayer requests, I was thinking about that this morning as we were getting ready to pray. And I thought, you know, there's some things that we are waiting for that can be things where we're lamenting. I thought about, there's many things that we're waiting for, from, you know, things that are happy things, healthy pregnancies, but there's hard things. You know, just injuries, waiting for replacement, knee replacement surgery, waiting for healing of our shoulder. You know, but on a bigger level, as a church, we're waiting. It's taken a while to find a pastor. I know this church has been on a journey for years, and so it could be appropriate to lament. How long, Lord, till we find the pastor you're leading before us? You know, it just feels like it's taken forever. You know, it's one thing to say that to someone else, or like, I just feel like we just take our time, or I'm not saying anybody said that here, I don't know that. I'm saying someone could say, man, it just feels like we're way too slow or whatever. But it's one thing to complain. It's another thing to say, I'm given permission to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm struggling with the timing here of this. And I want to trust you with the timing. Ultimately go there, but it's a process, isn't it? It's steps. And this isn't just something we move towards quickly. This lament and lamenting in our lives, you might be struggling with things for a long time, right? But we see that we are on a trajectory, but it does start with this openness, honesty. Michael Card is a singer who probably has taught me more about lamenting than any other probably person. He sings a lot of Bible-inspired songs. And he said, when I read this Bible, I hear music. And so he sets the Bible to music in a very beautiful and helpful way for a lot of people, at least, and me. And I heard him sing this song where he was inspired to sing Psalm 13. And he changed, he put some of it in some paraphrasing, but I just find it very, very helpful because it helped me to meditate on it probably for the first time when I was probably 20 years ago, probably 25 years ago when I first heard the song. And I started listening to it a lot. I was like, wow, I'd never heard somebody just singing a song of lament like they were, that this had value for the Christian. And he says in that song, he says this, how long will you forget, O Lord? How long? He just keeps repeating this. And how I long to see your face, O Lord. How I struggle with my thoughts, O Lord. Suffer sorrow in my heart, O Lord. You won't even give an answer, Lord. Give me light or I can live no more. My foes rejoice when they see me fall. We have overcome and now they call. How long? Still, O Lord, you are so good to me. My heart rejoices how you set me free. See how he's moving? You're the Savior that I'm hoping on. How I trust in your unfailing love. And so, let's be honest with God. Leave no burdens or cares behind as you worship him today. And as you worship him throughout this week. A good friend of mine and I started some years ago talking to each other, leaving these voice messages for each other on the phone, and we'll answer almost on a daily basis these questions. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you doing? What are you thinking about doing? And it was a way of, he's another missionary in Japan where I served with my family for some years, and we still do it. We still get together to pray. But, you know, he told me, he said, you know, I am not somebody I don't really think about my feelings. I don't know what's going on. I'm not a touchy-feely guy. And he said, but getting things out there, that's what we are created to do. And we see with David here, it says in the very important thing at the beginning, it's not a throwaway line. Before this psalm starts, the top it says, to the who? To the choir master. That matters because this is instructive. David is teaching someone who is a choir master how to lament. He's sharing with him about what's going on in his inner world. And so this is instructive for us. We can be honest with others, and it is could be helpful to them and them realizing, hey, to be a fully devoted disciple, to be a Christian, this is part of my life, to be honest and open, like we're invited to do, we're called to do really here, with the hard things that we're going through. And then quickly called, I'll go through the next couple verses. We're not only called to just turn, take our concerns, our feelings, whatever they are, to him, but also to tell him, tell God about your need for him to intervene. You tell him about your need for him to intervene. He says, consider, look at verses 3 through 4. You can see that. I'll let you read that. So he moves from feeling his feelings about God to his to this prayer, asking God in the midst. So whenever we lament, we can go to him in our restlessness. One of my favorite, I probably said this many times as I preached, one of my favorite prayers is from Augustine from many centuries ago when he said, Lord, you have made us for yourself and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. He knew that his heart is restless, David did, but he also knew his heart was going to be restless until he rested in him. So what was his specific situation? We don't know exactly what David was really troubled by besides his enemies. What was it going on? And what else? Well, it could have been a serious illness. Could have been that he was worried about death. Look how he says in verse 3, light up my eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. There's a lot of people, I was talking to somebody yesterday, really, I would never, and God doesn't mock our fears. Could be fear of death from the coronavirus. But he is worried, could be worried about death, lest I sleep the sleep of death. His enemies, because his enemies hate him, he is praying that they will not gloat over him. They're not going to stand over him and ha 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 taunt him and mock him. We see how I'll tell you with my friend that I referenced earlier, Joe, we've started to share and answer these questions and we will leave voice messages for each other. But we found it was even recently during this COVID crisis, we found, you know, like he said, say every day I'll tell you, it seems like Groundhog Day. You know, some other people have said that. This, you know, this seems like a lot of, I feel like I'm telling you, if you ask me what my days, how my week's going, I feel like I tell you the same thing every week. Whatever, a lot of people feel like that. And we were talking, but we felt like, I just feel like I'm telling you the same thing. So we said, let's pray as we're leaving our messages, start to pray for each other and pray about what we're talking about more. So not just complain, we have freedom to be honest about where we are, but we don't want to just stop there. And that makes it Christian. It's not just complaining, just airing out our feelings, but it's the beginning point, but then we take it to the Lord. And so we've been blessed as we've been able to pray for each other. Just even if we feel like we're saying the same prayers every day, let's pray, even in simple ways. So I invite you, brother, sister, friend here today, are you praying? Have you been open and honest with God about the pain or the thoughts that you've been having? And if you brought that to worship, today, are you willing to start? If you have not, have you asked Him to do something about the problems? And I know you are, because I see the prayer requests and we're praying for patience as we wait. How long till the social and economic effects of the pandemic end? That was one of the prayers. Righteous justice into racism. It's not a political statement. It's just acknowledging the world is not the way it's supposed to be. And that's something that we all recognize. But we have to be taught lament. It doesn't come natural to us. And it's going to be like something you might have to, when I do this, I feel like I have to work to do it. It doesn't feel fun, but it's how we commune with the Lord. It's how we commune with Him through His Word. And then not only do we take and tell, but we turn our confidence to Him and His provision. And we see this in verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So this is probably one of the most important things to understand about the Psalms of Lament. And you might have already learned this before, and as chances are, you are much better than me or you are advanced in this. But when you see a psalm of lament, almost always there's a shift somewhere in the psalm. It's from me to thee. It's from I to the great I am. It goes from focusing on myself, okay, I'm taking inventory, I know where I'm at, I'm praying, I'm thinking about myself and my circumstances and how I feel about you right now, maybe being honest, but it's not being irreverent to the Lord. But as we know, but this is not a theological treatise. If this was a theological treatise, every psalm would say, we don't run. God doesn't ever leave us. We leave God. Is that true? It's absolutely true. Is it helpful to know? It's absolutely helpful to know. But these are songs. Songs oftentimes, what's your favorite song you've heard recently? That's, songs express emotion. That's why they connect with us. And that's the purpose of what the psalmist is doing. So it's not a theological treatise. It's all true. But he works through, you know, God never leaves his people. Yes, that's true. And really, you see that here. The Lord, who, as the psalmist moves from himself to the Lord, he's focused on who is God, what has he done for me and his people? Who is God? What has he done for me and his people? The psalm it begins with honesty. It ends with confident hope. Lament will take you to confident hope as you reflect on this side of the cross, what the Lord has accomplished for us, what he has done for us. David could look back to the Exodus. We can look back to the even more ultimate event in God's plan of redemption, the life, death, resurrection of the man of sorrows himself, our Lord and Savior. So David, as he reflects on what the Lord does, it moves him to want to sing. He comes more alive. He comes more alive to what God has done for him, and you are encouraged to do the same as you pray this. Will you come more alive this week to what God has done for you in Christ? He has saved you from all your sins, brother, sister in Christ. If you don't know him, he will save you from all of your sins if you rest all of your hope on him and lean on him alone for salvation. He will never leave you or forsake you. He never does his people. At all times, he is with us. So we can go to him because he has dealt bountifully with me. He reminds himself where his hope is from. It's not about the quality of his faith. It's about where his faith is rests. It's the object, who he has faith in, what he's resting on. That's the goal here. He says, I'm confident in Hesed, in the steadfast love of the Lord that's revealed in God's covenant. Salvation in the Old Testament generally means rescue from physical and spiritual danger. I love this commentator, Derek Kidner, who said that, you know, it's interesting because he says, you know, because of what the Lord has done for me. Here, let me read this. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And this commentator said, he knows that looking back the whole way that he's been led, he will have a song to offer because he will have a song to offer. He knows looking back all the whole way he's been led, he's going to have a song to offer, and you are too, no matter what you're going through. And as we are collectively going through this season together, you will have a song to offer. As you look back the whole way that you have been led, as we have been led as God's people. So this is the This invites us to faith. I want to close with another psalm. I told you that Michael Card, probably more than anyone else, has taught me how to lament. He's done some good teaching on it. I've referenced some of him here, but he has a song, a whole album dedicated to lament, and it's a way of lamenting, of basically teaching the church how to lament. It's good. I commend it to you. It's called The Hidden Face of God. But I want to share you some words just as I close here. He says, this is a song called Worship Him with Your Wounds. Worship Him with Your Wounds. And this is lament. He says, this is an invitation. If you are wounded, if you're alone, if you are angry, if your heart is cold as stone, if you have fallen, and if you're weak, come find the worth of God that only the suffering seek. Come lift up your sorrows and offer your pain. He says, come make a sacrifice of all your shame. There in your wilderness, he's waiting for you to worship him with your wounds, for he's wounded too. He has not stuttered and he has not lied when he said, come unto me, you're not disqualified. When you're heavy laden, you may want to depart. But those who know sorrow, they're closest to his heart. Come lift up your sorrows and offer your pain. Come make a sacrifice of all your shame. There in your wilderness, he's waiting for you to worship him with your wounds, for he's wounded too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come to you at all times, in all seasons of life, in all our feelings. I pray that you would teach us to be honest with you and to trust you at the end of that honesty. I pray you would do in our heart what we can't do. This isn't about trying harder or just doing this in our own strength. This is that we are depending on you through your Holy Spirit to make this a part of our Christian life. And I pray that if there are those here, as we're talking to people about, they're talking about how they feel during this time, and everybody is expressing their opinions, I pray that that you would help us to take steps towards lament and to talking to people about that, about, you know, encouraging people to talk to the Lord about how they feel. And Father, give us wisdom on how to do that in a way that could connect with other people and help them to be pointed towards you and your word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's close now.